The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From where we're all made of grass, this is episode 150 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. With Gabe, Juan, Ashton, probably Mel in a little bit if she's not too freaked out.
And the piece of pie stuck in your throat.
Yeah, I did almost die on pie. Die on pie.
Are we on 150?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
That was a lot of episodes, man.
We're recording, by the way.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 150 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Today we're going to be talking about In the Tall Grass, the Stephen King and Joe Hill film that released on Netflix earlier this year. I think like this month, if I'm not sure. But,
I think
yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was this month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it pop up and never watched it.
Right on. But with that said, let's start talking about In the Tall Grass. I guess for me, this movie's great. Like, this is absolutely the kind of horror film that I like. Little bit of jump scare, little bit of gore, lots of suspense, lots of tension. Like, just in general, like a really good, thrilling, scary movie. What'd you guys think?
I really enjoyed it.
You all right over there?
Yeah, something's biting me or something.
Ghost chewing on
something. What are we talking about?
In the Tall Grass.
I really liked it. It was a good movie. I like the weirdness to it. The one thing that I will say that I was not the biggest fan of is they made this rock out to be something. The scribbles on the rock with the baby and, you know, things like that. And they never explained, like, because at the end of it kind of, like, erases. And it's almost like it didn't happen.
It's like a restart almost.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you never find out. Like, it's weird to me. I think I had this complaint, it sounds like, with the cube. Because they made this rock out to be something, and I didn't know if, like, the rock was trying to take over, if the grass was going to take over the world. Like, I didn't quite understand.
Keep talking.
What was going on, and that really bothers me, because it's to me, that's a bit of a hole. What's going on? To me, that's a bit of a plot hole. Like, because I don't, again, and I like things to be terrorizing, but I also like it to make sense to me. And that part didn't. It just kind of left me empty.
They didn't explain it.
No, at all, though. That, right. There's not even a semblance of nothing. A little bit of explanation as to what
they
it is.
They showed a couple of the hieroglyphs on it, and then that was it. That was my chief complaint,
and that's
too.
What I thought the dude, the main bad guy, was going to explain something, kind of like a ritual while the baby was coming out or something, and it just didn't happen.
All,
it was really weird.
All he said was, touch the rock and you'll know everything, and then there was no explanation whatsoever. And I had fallen asleep, and then I ended up watching the rest of it, mostly with Ashton, and then I finished the last 20 minutes on my own because, for whatever reason, I fall asleep through every movie. And I asked both of them – thanks. So, I asked both of them, do they ever explain the rock?
Nope.
And so I watched it, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe they missed something. Nope. They don't explain the shit. And I'm like, well, what the fuck was the point of the rock? So that irritated me.
I don't explain the grass people either.
I kind of felt like this was Isaac's in Children of the Corn. Like, when shit's going crazy, he's like, we're going to take over the world or whatever. You know what I mean? We're bringing him back. And, you know, but that fucking moment never happened. It was really a weird miss for me. So I enjoyed the movie, though. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. It was just a really weird thing for me.
When you very first see the grass people, my head was like, oh, that's the baby. Like, she's giving birth to the grass people. And then everything else that happens with the baby, like, spoiler alert, she eats her own child. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, weird, what the fuck?
Fucking fart.
But the nice thing about it was it's...
It tastes like you.
It was...
Real quick, before you go on, when you guys finished the movie, I just got a text message from Ashton at work, like, what the fuck is with that in the tall grass? She eats her goddamn baby. I was like, oh, man.
There's the pie again.
I know it is.
So it was the first horror movie I had watched since Hereditary, so like it had to fill in a pretty decent gap, and I thought it did really good. It's not like as scary as Hereditary because nothing will ever top that
movie. I don't really think this movie was scary at all. I wasn't scared.
Yeah,
but I mean,
moments.
I enjoyed it.
There's a couple of jumpy moments, yeah. But it wasn't like scary.
See, I don't think that's scary as much as it like does that
it's
to me. I don't. Yeah, I don't really think it's scary.
Yeah.
But I did. I texted you as soon as she's laying there and she's like, oh, it's grass. Don't worry about it. And then you see the baby. I was like, did she just fucking eat her own baby? I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So for me, this is a very suspenseful movie for sure. Like,
dude, the first 10 minutes was, ugh.
Not even 10 minutes. I would say like the first half an hour where they're just stuck in the grass.
I'm like, get the fuck out of the grass.
Get the fuck out of it is just like the whole time I was watching it, I was just like tense.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, the whole scene where he like, it's okay, honey. You're just grass. And he fucking smashes her head in.
Like a fucking
and they start like sprinting away. I was like, oh, shit's about to get like intense.
Post-Water Malone?
I think that's why I left the first time, because I was like super fucking stoned out of my mind. And then I'm like, they're never getting out of the grass.
Yeah, that's exactly what you
said.
And
I was like, I'm going to go to bed because I can't handle this right now. It's too late. I'm going to go put on comedy. Yeah.
I think that's when the intensity of the movie kind of just went from like here
completely.
To like. Here, like immediately out of nowhere, because
then it becomes kind of slashery.
For
he's chasing
sure.
him
yeah.
through the corn maze, through the
very,
maze.
Yeah,
the
scissors and
it,
eyes. Mm.
The very beginning of it is very psychological, and then once it hits that point, it just becomes a straight horror film. Like it's not scary, but it's definitely a horror movie because the intention is to fucking
right.
freak you out and gross you out. So
I think the fight between like. The boyfriend, husband, daddy thingy, and the brother is really interesting.
The baby daddy.
The baby daddy. Because
the brother that loves his sister.
Yeah, because like Cal
Gross.
Is protecting his sister from all the wrong things while Travis is just trying to make sure she survives long enough to give birth.
Right.
And then Cal is just like, fuck you.
I would have picked her up and thrown her ass through the portal. Like, if that's really what's happening,
yeah.
Fuck you, you're not going in there. If I'm going to die, I guess I'm going to die. But you get your ass to safety, like,
yeah.
if that's what it ends up being, because that's what it seems like,
yeah. I don't know. In general, this movie leaves enough questions instead of answers that I almost wonder if there's another one of these coming out.
It kind
of this might be
it kind of needs
start.
A prequel.
It really does, because they don't explain the church, they don't explain the rock, and those seem really significant, but there's zero explanation.
The random like gas station in the middle of the corn
or the
further yeah. end,
and how
or the bowling alley.
There?
Yeah,
like, how can it be
yeah.
a focal point? Like I almost wonder if this is the beginning of a series of maybe three movies or something like that. That explain what's going on. Because otherwise it seems kind of incomplete. Like it definitely seems like a weird incomplete story.
When they were walking towards the building, I just assumed it was the church. I thought that was the focal
right.
point
and
of them
like,
trying to get out.
And then they're like in a bowling alley
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait,
I didn't know if it was bowling or a bar or what. I was just like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Like it was just really
well,
weird
because he makes that little quip about there's always holes in the grass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is it like a... Was that like a hole in the grass? Are they like in a different place? Are they in a different time?
They're like portals.
Like
they can jump from place to place.
What is happening?
And that's why I thought, fuck it, I'm running through the portal.
And they don't explain like why dead things don't move. And like there's just so many questions at the end of this movie that you almost want to just see them do another one. It's like Cube, just like you said with Cube, where there's so many questions and some of them can get answered in the sequels. And I feel like this would be an effective series if you answer some of the questions, but not all of the questions.
There was a visual that I really liked in it. Like when what was the dad's name? Ross or something like that. I don't know. Sales dude.
Murder guy.
Yeah, murder man with scissors in his
creepy
eyeballs.
Creepy car salesman.
Yeah, creepy car salesman. Creepy car salesman.
Look at me. You've been a car salesman way longer than I have.
When somewhere in the middle of the movie, whenever he...
In the tall grass explanation is the first thing that comes up on Google when you type in the tall grass.
Oh, wow.
When he corners Cal and he's like, and this is where you die. And then he's struggling with him on the ground and Cal looks over and he sees his dead body and then a more desiccated part of his dead body. And then like, it's just like this
over and over,
over and over and over again. I'm like, the visual of that was really kind of cool to me.
Say, a very similar scene when he says, I bet you're wondering if I would have taken a left turn or a right turn, would this save me?
Or if you just went straight.
You've done it. You've gone right and I killed you. You've gone left, I killed you. You went straight and I killed you.
Right.
And then you see like
the line, there's like six of him. Yeah.
That was a fucking really, really cool part of the movie. It's one of the things I really, really enjoyed.
It was probably my flu delirium, but when she calls herself, I was like, how are you calling yourself? You can't call yourself.
You really can't.
You can't. And I'm like, bitch, please.
Like, no matter how timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly it is, like, you definitely can't call yourself because you can't call it. That's not how cell phones work, basically.
My biggest question is, so the first kid touched the rock. The second
kid. You mean the little kid?
The little kid.
Yeah.
The second kid doesn't touch the rock. And I'm just wondering, like, what happened to the first kid that made him touch the rock? Like... how long was he in the grass? Like, how long are they in the grass before they just randomly get killed? And where the fuck did the first kid go? You never see him get killed, or did, like...
He
just goes away.
Where, though?
Ashton, we just talked about how this movie has no answers for you.
And, you had touched on when we were talking earlier about Midsommar. You had said that I like things in a linear fashion. And... yeah. I really liked this movie. It held my interest a lot, but I don't do well when Barry's fucking up the timeline. And I literally had to say to myself, well, fuck it, timey, wimey, wibbly, wobbly, because none of it made sense to me because these different timeline versions of themselves come in. And I'm like, okay, I get that, but... then you're calling yourself, and then you see yourself dead, but then you come back, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
So, I don't want you to think this is like a dig at you, because it's not meant to be, but you do really struggle with non-linear timeline
stuff. I fucking hate it.
Like, Memento, you hate that movie.
I fucking hate that movie so much.
This movie, really hard for you to follow. We've watched a couple other movies that have, like, really
jacked up timeline stuff. I can't deal with it.
You don't like that, and that's totally fine. It's 100% understandable. But
I do like Dr. Who. I kind of feel like the boyfriend somehow... lived outside of the timeline.
Like, he's like...
and so he was able to kind of change things. Yeah, yes.
Somehow he's special.
Yes.
And they don't explain why that is either.
But that's how I felt because that... because I almost was like, I don't think this is time travel. It's just... they're just duplicated. It was just really weird to me.
It was like a weird episode of Sliders where there was like different... times coming in, but there's a constant, and it was Travis, and he's always trying to, like, save his girlfriend and hopefully kill the dumb brother, so...
also, dumb brother, the dude is strangling the boyfriend.
Right.
I don't care how much I love that other girl. If that guy dies, he's after me next. Like, I'm fucking helping that guy try and kill the one dude, and then we'll sort all the other bullshit out later.
Absolutely.
Right.
That is wrestling psychology 101. If there's a monster, you get the monster first, and then you deal with each other.
And then you get each other, right.
Going back to what you were saying about the sequels, I just remembered, when Travis first meets the first version of the boy, he goes...
Jesus, that is a fucked up sentence.
He goes, there's other people in the grass, but they're not related to our story. Which means there's, like, either different versions of themselves
right.
or
a whole
other random bullshit story.
Because exactly. Travis was like, "Who the hell are you?" And he goes, "You know me," and he's like, "I'm whatever the kid's name was, Tobin," and he's like, "No, I don't." And he goes, "No," and it's what you said. We have our story. There's other people, they don't matter.
Here's the other thing that I noticed at the end of the movie. He lets the boy out. The boy goes with the people, stops him from going in, which essentially stops everything from happening.
Right.
Now they've just randomly stolen a child
kid.
To these two parents who now don't know where their kid is.
Right.
If he fixed the timeline, like, the parents are like, what the fuck?
Where's our kid?
He was in the van a minute ago. And now he's not in the van.
But, I mean, that's like second version small kid whose parents are already dead.
I don't think so, because the mom and the dad went in after the kid.
Yeah.
Generally. Yeah.
But I thought, wasn't she about to walk? No, he was about to walk into the grass when the kid sprints out of the church.
Right.
So that kid's parents would have already been dead?
No, because the kid went in first. Supposedly.
Tobin
went in first. The kid went in first, and then his parents went in.
Right.
And then the two came by the car, and then they heard the boy and went in as well.
Right, but there's a Tobin in the grass, and then there's this Tobin. So technically there'd be two Tobins in the same timeline currently, and the dirty Tobin tells them,
you have to assume there's two. You have to assume there's two of everything.
Right.
Because if he's traveled, if this is a time travel movie, if he's traveled back in time to stop the two main characters from going in the grass, then the two parents haven't gone in the grass yet, I assume.
Because the Tobin that's coming out of the church has gone through everything, so his parents are already dead.
He's the one who watched his mom's head get squished like a watermelon. Yeah. And his dad has scissors in his eyes.
There's like a Tobin in the grass calling them to enter
his parents
the grass.
Are already in there.
And he's the one that's gone through the ordeal that makes them not follow the Tobin whose parents have already died. Holy fuck, that's too much.
Like, you see why I don't like nonlinear shit?
I love it.
It was good.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't watch the movie, but like y'all said Tobin about 3 times and I was out.
Well, that might explain a little bit of this.
So Corbin.
On Rotten Tomatoes, the critics have given this a fucking 36%.
Yikes.
Awful. And the fan score is 51, which is actually worse than Midsommar, which really surprises me.
Me too.
Because the reaction that I've heard from regular people about Midsommar is, it was okay. But people that I've talked to really enjoyed this
movie.
Me
too.
I have fucked up friends?
Yes. But I wonder if it's because it doesn't tie up a lot of loose ends.
For sure.
And people like a nice, neat little package where there's some sort of ending.
I think that's what we're learning about.
I kind of felt like it tied up the ends, but left a big hole in the middle.
There's a gaping hole in the middle.
Like, I was like, oh, all right, cool. He stopped it and the dude disappeared. So I assume he just never went in and he's alive somewhere. Because he came in after them, I think, right? The boyfriend?
Right. So Crazy Travis still in the corner.
Crazy Cal, the brother?
Cal's dead. Dad's dead. Mom's dead. Sister's dead. Baby's dead.
Tobin and
Travis are the only two people that are still alive in the second timeline. The one that kind of works. Tobin gets out, but Travis touches the rock, so he doesn't want to leave anymore.
Well, he disappeared at the end of the movie.
Yeah, Travis.
So I just assume he's alive then.
Yeah.
Sequel.
Third timeline. Travis would still be
in the grass.
No, I think he'd be dead.
No.
Because the one who touched the rock is the one who disappeared. And the other guys were already dead.
Oh, so he would be dead.
I think so.
I guess Tobin and the sister and the brother just go back and she figures it out with Travis, the new Travis.
Maybe.
I think so. They just patch up. So the only person who would know what the fuck happened is the kid.
Is the kid.
And so the other people are just like, oh, fuck. Let's just fix our lives.
Could you imagine hearing that fucked up story from that little kid?
I don't. You think he says it? You think he tells it?
No, they got to be like, what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah. Like, isn't that you out there? Like, what the hell? Like, you know he has to say something to them.
Right. My biggest question is, why do they leave? Like, I get that they have the same voice, but if you were in that situation.
Well, he shows him the bloody necklace.
That's right.
And then so he's like, don't fucking go in there. And he shows her her own necklace, and she's wearing the other necklace. Yeah. So she's – that would make me be like, what the fuck? All right. I'm so, not going in the grass.
So at that point, you got to imagine that like about 5 minutes into the car ride, she turns around and goes, okay, what the fuck is happening? Like – and then at some point, he's got to try to explain this like ridiculous story to them. And they have to be like, stop taking LSD, little kid.
But – don't do drugs.
This movie screams sequel. Like, oh, it for really sure. Does. There's
too much. I thought prequel. For
you
personally.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah. A follow-up something. Film.
Yeah,
how's
yeah,
that?
For sure.
Like, there's just too much missing in it for it to not have some kind of follow-up.
I liked it all. I just don't understand the mythos, and that bothers me. It like, mean, I don't get that.
I think there are some hints to, like, a lot of the ideas that, like, Lovecraft wrote about that I think you're supposed to kind of have in the back of your head, especially when it comes to, like, The Rock, because it really feels like something that would come from a Lovecraft story from space. Like, that is definitely the vibe I got from it, is that it's an ancient – like, it's some kind of ancient stone that has come from space and belongs to an ancient race that is no longer there. Which is a very, like Ashton knows from reading, and I think Bailey from reading a lot of Lovecraft stuff, is that's very Lovecraft mythos, which is something that Stephen King loves to play with and something his son loves to play with too. So I wonder if there are some like ideas that it's assumed you know, whether you know them or not, that this movie plays with a little bit.
If I'm the little kid, I'm growing up and opening a construction company, and then I'm fucking taking that grass down with crews and tractors, not just one dude getting lost in the grass.
But
right.
But how would you do it? Because you gotta think, you can't destroy the grass. Like, remember the scene where he's like tying up the grass?
Well, and just like, what I would try to do,
I'd burn it.
What I would try to do is just stay on the edges as much as possible. Take a big ass tractor with some giant fucking lawnmower thing or something, and just live on the edge. And then if it starts to go back up, fucking, I'm out again. But
fucking burn it down again.
But I ride that edge because there was the scene where he kind of steps in and he's right there on the edge and he doesn't go in at the very end. So I don't know.
There's one like big question for me when she's in the like middle of giving birth. Big ass hole opens up underneath her, like right in front of the rock, and you can see all of the like loose limbs, like in the hole, just kind of moving around.
I think they were babies. I don't think they were loose limbs.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking she was going to just drop the baby into the hole by accident, or somebody was just going to toss the baby into the hole, and then she eats the baby instead.
Well, she was fed the baby. She didn't eat the baby.
Yeah, she definitely did not choose that moment.
Yeah.
But she was fed the baby. I wonder if that's, like, one of the things that just straight fucked over the timeline.
I don't know.
Because
the baby sacrifice thing was weird because I don't know what the fuck was supposed to come from it.
Right.
Just, like, from what you guys are saying, I feel like if you go back and watch, like, a couple more times, you'll probably pick up on stuff that... Like,
it definitely whatever seems like a film that has a lot of rewatchability for stuff that you missed.
Yeah, like, I feel like
The Witch.
I feel like, yes, like The Witch. Like, I feel like if you go back, maybe on the stone, it'll have more about why they made her eat the baby. But I have no idea because I don't
watch it. Yeah.
There's like a scene where it's just showing random things from the stone and it's like cutting back to her, stone back to her. And that was interesting. But the stone doesn't really depict anything. It kind of shows what's happening to her.
Just
like
in that
ritual,
moment when she's giving the birth, yeah, there's like a like the ritualistic hieroglyphs. And then that's really all you ever see of the stone.
Like there's that one scene where he puts his hand on the stone. And that's like the very beginning part of when you're like watching him like fade into like bloodiness, and you can like see all the grass and all the stuff, and then he's like, I know the way out, but no explanation.
Yeah, that was
like
at the very end.
He knows that.
Yeah, that was at the and so when you pop up to the top down view and the red kind of runs through the world,
yeah.
I thought that that there was going to be more, and then it's just whoop, and then he's out, and it was just like what the fuck?
Yeah, I genuinely feel like this is just primed for a follow up film.
I like it. It was on Netflix, right? So yes, it's not. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine them not giving Stephen King more money.
Well,
but
yeah,
who knows?
Stephen King.
Yeah.
His son is a super prolific writer, and his stories have been made into films too already. So it's not. It's. I mean, the apple didn't fall far from the tree, and like their creative process is very similar. And honestly, what they made together is really cool. Apparently, the short story that this is based on is really, really good as well. So, for me, that is a totally different movie.
In the Tall Grass, 2005.
Some looks like a documentary or some kind of Kenyan movie or something.
Some kind of voodoo movie.
The Rwandan genocide itself may have been confined to around 100 days. So fun about
About Rwandan. Murder.
Both movies are about murder. One's real, one's not. All right. So for the four of us that have watched it, let's go ahead and give it a little bit of a rating. I would give this one probably like a, I'm going to say like a 3.5 out of 5, 6.5 out of 10, something like that.
I was going to say 3/4 up.
Yeah, like a little that's bit above halfway.
Yeah, 6.5, 7. That's probably a good one. I enjoyed it. I'd watch it again.
For sure. I think I'd watch this again.
I
kind of want to watch it again to see if I can get a little bit more out of it. What about you, Ashton?
I'll give it like a 4 out of 5 and then like a 7.5 out of 10. Because I wish
I like that Ashton has embraced our ridiculous rating system. Like, how many thumbs is that? Is that like a thumbs here?
It's like at a 60-degree angle.
Yeah, it's like a
It's a turgid thumb.
It's a turgid thumb. It's like a half.
It's like up, but it's not an actual like
it's
thumbs
like not
up
a whole,
yet.
It's like a half.
Yeah,
like,
because I really enjoyed the movie.
Two-thirds.
I just wish there was
2/3, not full half. Like, yeah,
I would definitely suggest it, and it's definitely be an easy movie to rewatch and like. Find new shit.
I agree with him.
But, like, there needs to be something else.
I feel like if I got too stoned, I would take notes on this movie.
Like, I feel like...
Didn't you?
I feel like if I went back into that movie, I would definitely have, like, a notepad and a pencil.
And try to, like, diagram it.
Try to figure out what the fuck is happening in it.
Lick his pencil.
Because that might be a fun exercise to try to diagram who is...
Don't get high, Ashton.
I paused the movie to go use the bathroom, and while I was in the bathroom, I was like... Timeline. Oh, nope. Just not even going to try that.
You're like, nope, none of this makes sense.
Yep. Just the whole stuff where Travis calls in Tobin, that's where I lost it. I was like, the timeline is completely fucked from here.
Nothing announced or talked about as far as the sequel yet.
Yeah, I didn't see any either.
It's like
damn you, Barry Allen.
Oh, so good, by the way.
Right?
So
now
good.
I kind of want to go watch a video on it being explained.
Yeah, I'll probably look that up too. But
definitely need to catch up on The Flash.
Yeah.
The Anti-Monitor just destroyed Earth 2. It's fucking amazing. So good.
Well, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap up episode 150, which is actually
that's
a pretty
weird.
Impressive number.
We're at like 110 regular episodes.
So before I talk to Brother Moses and Professor...
Charles Porterfield.
I keep wanting to call him a different last name, but before I talked to them today while I was a messenger, I said, you know, I do have like a couple hundred interviews under my belt, and just being able to say that sentence out loud is kind of insane.
What were you saying? We're at episode 150.
Yeah, like, but all the episodes encompassed, because we've switched, which I think is a cool idea now, switching the interviews to just their own thing. Now we've encompassed, I think, like 210 or something.
Wow.
We have a lot of episodes out there. Lots of content. If you want to know more about our content, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, Twitter, Instagram, or Twitch, which if you guys are watching, hello.
Buenos dias.
It's
noches.
I'm just saying.
Buenos dias just means good day.
Okay. Anyway, any of those things, you can find us at Outside Longbox. And of course, you can join us on YouTube by going also, hi if you're on YouTube, going to tinyurl.com/TOTLB2, but please give us a thumbs up and hit that subscribe or the notifications bell so that you know when we go live, like we are right now, or when we upload a new video. And last but not least, of course, please join us on Patreon at patreon.com/TOTLB. It's a really great way to support the show, help us do more stuff like this, help us talk to more people, help us to get out more into the world so that more people can enjoy the show like you do. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box, where we talked about In the Tall Grass.
At this point, I think we would have decided on, or we'll have all the submissions for the calendar in, as probably, I'm guessing, because this will be the end of 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, should be. Okay. So, and like I said before, every Patreon person, I'll supply them with a free calendar.
For sure. And let's not forget that really quick. We have been taking submissions for models for our calendar. It is a pinup calendar featuring the sexy, sexy bodies of Gabe, Juan, Doyle, and Tim. And
not featuring us. We're eight, just going to no, be
we're
in
the
it.
Features. No, we're the features. No. We're the features. And, save me. And eight other men and women that are all significantly more attractive than the four
Thank
of us.
God.
So be sure.
It's going to be a good looking thing. I told you earlier when we, I was just so surprised at how many people have reached out and just been like, yeah, I'll be a part. Sounds I'll do that. Yeah. Yeah.
So be like, sure wow. Be sure to keep an eye out for more information on that. We'll keep updating you. Juan and I have been doing some video updates on Facebook and stuff like that. But with that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Mashton.
I'm Mel.
And I'm not sure this was a good idea.
So much snark.
Nobody knows what that means. That happened earlier in the week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albi is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.